All right, 8:13 here on The Ticket. He's Mike Soroy. I'm Sean Bass. We are in for the musers over this summer dry dock. Matt Birmingham is with us. We got Julie doing ticket tickers at 10 and 50 past the hour. Big Strong Jer at the helm playing country music this morning. And we have Killer producing, but he's not in the capsule. He is on the road. It is the third annual Killer Cannonball Run Challenge. And he has to go up to across the border into Oklahoma to a casino and place a $100 blackjack bet. He also has a few tasks we have asked him to do. And what's our current update? I saw that he parked at said casino.
Well, one of his tasks, because he is dressed like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, mm-hmm. he's got a suit on and a button-down white shirt with no tie. The top button is done. He looks as close as he can to Rain Man. And he has to get a stranger to take a video or picture of him coming down the escalator.
Like the famous scene from the movie.
Yes.
He and Tom Cruise.
And I have sources. I have sources on the road. Oh. Joel R. says, just saw Killer at the casino. He's already got the escalator video. You wow. got this, Killer.
Wow.
He might actually pull this off.
Now, this is fun stuff. It's scary, but it's fun stuff.
So that box is checked. The $100 on one hand of blackjack, I don't know the status of that. The last one is he has to roll audio of him talking to one female stranger.
Yeah, that's where he'll find
about being a high roller.
He has to ask her where the high roller area is because he's a high roller from the big city of Dallas. And he has to ask her if she's a fan of his podcast, Bear Stew.
And it took him an hour and, what, 1:24 to get up there?
An hour 24 to get there. It's 8:15 right now. If he's out of there by 8:30, that gives him a full 90 minutes to get back here before the 10 o'clock deadline. But I think he's going to run into a little more traffic on the way back than he did on the way there. I'd say he needs to be in the car in about 5 minutes.
It's not peak rush hour when he's coming back, but it's never fun heading south on 75 into downtown.
Killer's Cannonball Run continues. Will he make it? I have a little story slash hypothetical slash conversation for everyone here. Now, this thing came about in the 1980s. That's the genesis of this. So please remember that because it's probably a little inappropriate for today's climate.
All right.
But I'll start with the hypothetical, then I'll tell you the story and link it all together. I promise this will be better than the shark story. Okay?
That imagine, was a pretty good one.
I don't know, man.
Imagine you all, and Julie, you can play. Obviously, you'd probably be the most important vote of this. But okay. You're on vacation with your wives. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not in a wild place, whatever. You're just at a dark kind of a bar. You're sitting there having a cocktail with your wife.
Maybe after dinner.
Sure. Say 11 o'clock at
sure.
night.
Maybe you know? Chuckle. Though.
You're not going wild, but you're just kind of hanging out.
I've always wanted a wife.
Hey.
Mark.
Progressive world we live in these days.
Hypothetical.
You can do whatever you like.
Okay.
A man walks up to you and asks essentially how much it would cost for your wife to go stand on top of the bar topless and do a dance.
Huh.
I mean, we're assuming legal fees are covered, right?
Like do that. I have to pay taxes on this?
No taxes. God, I don't know, Sean, about legal fees. Again, this is the 1980s if you want to apply it. Let's assume there's not going to be the police handcuffing anyone involved.
Okay.
Everyone's having a fun time
okay.
in the bar.
Everybody's having a good time. All right.
Yes.
Nobody. Yeah.
And it's easy if you think your wives are listening to say, oh, she would never. But
no cell phone video?
Exactly. Also no cell phone video in those days, but we'll assume that these days that no one's going to shoot video of
it. I put you so out by my question.
This is a one-off. This is a one-off thing.
If she volunteered to do it and wanted to do it, then yeah, she could do it.
Well, it is her decision.
Yes.
I mean, ultimately.
Like, but I wouldn't be forcing anything onto her.
Well, what is there a dollar amount that, I mean, if the man said $1,000 cash in hand, everyone's got some drinks in them.
I mean, $1,000's a lot of money.
A lot of money. Probably pays for the whole trip you're on or
probably.
A good portion
a chunk
of it.
Yeah.
Julie, your thoughts?
I mean, I think ultimately it depends on if the wife wants to do it or not.
Right.
Well,
that's
you're the wife
question.
In this scenario.
Me?
In your traditional marriage of a man and a woman.
This is 1980?
85. But that doesn't, I mean,
right,
the
yeah.
hypothetical applies to right now as well.
Then. I would not ever do that. That's just me, though. But some chicks
ever.
Would. Yeah, no, I mean, not for I don't care how much money it is. That's just not something.
See, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think we all have a price.
That's exactly.
That's just not because
it's not
interested
a
in.
Full indecent proposal here. They're not asking for the ultimate thing. You need to stand up there and proudly again. And if you say no, that's completely acceptable. What if I said $10,000?
Yeah, I don't know what the amount is, but I'm certain that Lady Ham would have a number that she would do this at.
I would just feel like dirty money.
That's fair.
I wouldn't want it. I'm just going to keep working hard. How about that?
That's easy to say when you're out staring at a duffel bag full of money, which...
You know how much college is going to cost when our kids are ready to go?
Why are you trying to get me to hop on a bar?
I'm trying to get you to think about this. Because Kelly's probably going, look, we could maybe, I don't know...
Oh, man.
Repairs around the house? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Like, we'd probably come up with another way to make some fast cash. Or well, I'd like try to trade him. Be like, let him do it. Yeah.
I mean, pull your jeans down, honey.
Yeah. Am I allowed to go up on the dance?
You're not allowed to go up on the bar.
They don't want
to
see you.
So the reason I bring up this hypothetical is because I was recently in Florida, right? And the my dad, we've talked about plenty, was a professional powerboat racer in the 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, throughout multiple disciplines. The first part of it was really cool because last week was the Sarasota Grand Prix. It's the Sarasota boat race. So my mom and I and Christina, we visited the pits, right? And we met the guy who's puts on the entire, he's in charge of the entire Sarasota boat race.
They treat you like
well, that's
royalty,
legacy? Not exactly, but there was some of that. The friend of ours, who was an incredible friend of my dad's, kind of hosted us to go to the event. Anyone over 50 years old that we were introduced to, they would do a double take when they heard our last name. And
because one, it's unique. It's not like Johnson or Smith or whatever.
Yeah.
People know the name Saroy.
Yes. In the boat racing circles, certainly older people, boat racing circles, they definitely know the name Saroy. And a couple people, you know, I could tell them stick their hand out to do it. Oh, yeah. Hey, pleasure. And then they clicked when they heard my name. They're like, Bill Saroy? Like, they were really... excited, impressed by it, and that made me feel incredible. My dad's been dead
for
20 years, and to know that there's people who still... I mean, it's boat racing. It's not NASCAR. It's not Indy, where these names are iconic, and there's Wikipedias and all this history. The stories about my dad are going to pass away with the people who remember them.
Right.
And, I mean, that's partly why I want to talk about it here, because it might keep the memory of someone who raced powerboats alive for a little bit longer. But it's just not the iconic history that these other sports have.
So when you run into these people that knew your dad from back in his racing days, do they immediately look at you in cash and go, that's Bill's kid? Or do you favor your mom more? Like, who do they, like, is there like an
look
a visual ID? I know the name. They know the name for sure.
I don't know that answer. The name is what triggered it for the people we met. Like, there was one boat, this huge boat, and our friend Rich, who was the guy running everything, was asked, hey, can Christina and Mike get up on the boat? And the guys up there are like, yeah, I guess. Like, what are you talking about? Sure. Like, we're working here. So we kind of awkwardly climb up on the boat, and then I reintroduce myself, and the guy's like, Bill Saroy?
Whoa.
And he's like, dude, get in the boat. And he's like, sit down, pretend you're driving, like, hang out with us, you know?
That's
like,
cool.
Anyway, it was incredible. And part of it, we went to a lunch, and we heard some wild stories about my dad, the racing powerboats in Miami in the 80s, which, again, my dad died when I was 20 years old, so I was right on the precipice of probably being able to sit down with beers and hear some really cool stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in your teens or younger, you're trying to just get the dad stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would do anything now to hear some of these tales, sure, like the real badass stuff of winning world championships all over the world and Lake Havasu in the late 60s and tunnel boats. I mean, anyway. But when you have lunch with these old guys and now... we're all adults. You get to hear some wild stories. And the one that leads back to that hypothetical actually didn't exactly have to do with my dad. But it's a story that I heard. Key West is the site of the Powerboat World Championships. Every year down in Key West, there's a place called the Pier House. That's sort of the... it's about $900 a night these days. So on my recent trip to Key West, I did not get to enjoy a trip to the Pier House. But they're telling old stories of the 80s, and there's this bar at the Pier House. And Al Copeland, the guy who owned Popeye's Chicken, you know, probably worth about $500 million. He passed away years ago. Great dude. My dad worked for him for years. Incredible. I'm friends with his kids to this day.
That gives you an allegiance to Popeye's as well, I would imagine, right?
It makes Popeye's more delicious.
Yeah,
yes.
My paycheck goes there.
I was going to say, Ham
the Copeland family appreciates
he's
you.
A big supporter.
But in the 80s, these are wild times, right? So there were some people hanging out at this bar at the Pier House, right? And it was kind of quiet. And then Al Copeland shows up with his entourage. And they're like, we got to liven this place up. So my the guy who was telling me the story was wearing this hat, okay? And Al Copeland's like, I love that hat. I want that hat. He's like, you can't have the hat. He's like, I'll give you $500 for that hat right now. The guy's like, no, you can't have the hat. He's like, well, I'll make you a bet. Let me make you a bet, and if I win, I get the hat. The guy's like, what's the bet? He's like, points at this couple, quietly kind of sitting, having cocktails on the side, and he said, I bet you for your hat that I can get that girl to stand on top of the bar, take her top off, and do a little dance. And the guy's like, all right, what? You know, like, maybe, I don't know. So then all the rich dudes start betting a lot of money on this.
Oh, my God.
Okay? It gets up to $40,000. $40,000 and the hat is on the line.
Over a hat.
This is what people who are worth $500 million, I think, might do. Certainly in the 80s. Again, this is, remember, probably 1984.
Let's be honest. If we were out in a similar situation and we had unlimited funds, we would be doing crap like this all the time.
Right?
Just to donate to charity.
Well, yes,
and
you would.
You can also donate to charity. Yeah. But if you're betting something, it sort of frees up a lot of money to... So they come up with this term. It's about $40,000 and the hat, which is what Al only wanted anyway. And that's on principle because he didn't even want the damn hat, I'm sure. And then the guy tells the story. He's like, all right, Al walks over to this table and sits down with this couple, you know, and you can't hear what they're saying, but, you know, introduces himself. They're chatting and everyone's kind of with people with $40,000 on the line are kind of watching out of the side like, okay, what's going on?
This is the main attraction.
And suddenly the guy's head like whips over, clearly whips to Al like when... He heard the actual proposal of what we're talking about here. There's silence, you know, there's talking. A couple minutes later, girl stands up, walks straight to the bar, takes her top off, and does a little dance. And goes back and sits down with what I would think to be her new husband, because it seemed like a young couple, an engagement thing.
So what was offered to her?
Well, Al, obviously victorious, talks to the people that he'd bet $40,000. The guy hands over the hat to Al. He's got all the money. Al walks over there and basically cuts them a check immediately for $30,000 and says, there's a massive down payment on your first house. Congratulations.
And keep in mind,
this has been fun.
1980, whatever.
Yeah, that's whatever. 100 Dude. G's now. Who knows? $30,000.
Wow. New house, Julie?
That sounds nice now.
Right?
And from him telling the story, she just got up there, took her top off, yes, and literally like did a 360, 5 seconds.
That was enough.
That sounds so uncomfortable, though.
Congratulations on your new house.
Yeah.
And half the bar thinks you're a hero, though, right? Like, that's...
You're getting nothing but support from everyone,
exactly, like,
except your bra.
Well, true.
Except it's gone.
You can always put it back on.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot of money.
$30,000. 1 minute you're sitting there with your new husband having a drink like, wow, Key West is beautiful. The last thing you ever think is you're going to be naked in this bar in 5 minutes. And even after that, you think you're going to have $30,000. A massive...
I guess you can just run away, too, and like never see any of them ever again.
Yeah, you're in Key West.
Mm-hmm.
I believe their tab was paid as well, if that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Another $150 right there.
Jen's not here, but I can speak for her. She would do this. She's a school teacher. I do tickers. Yeah, we could use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I would
kids.
Definitely do this.
We know you would, Matt.
I'd do it.
Why
for...
are you taking your shirt? Put your shirt on, Matt.
Do
I don't,
for
those,
a lot less.
I don't need
sandwiches.
You to do this.
Probably,
yeah, a couple Popeye's spicy chicks. A
couple tendies.
I thought it was a fascinating story that is so 1980s Florida nonsense. But I just love the idea of facing that decision, something, and imagine him explaining it, and the guy's like, "What, sir, get out of here." And then, wait.
Hang on.
And then you have to look at your wife and say, I'm not telling you what to do here.
And if you're the wife.
Up to you.
She has leverage now moving forward, too.
Oh, yeah.
She just paid for the house.
Exactly.
She's going to try to keep doing it. She's going to go walk around Key West like, hey, what you got?
Go to another bar with billionaires.
Go get a job at Bean Snappers.
She's going to get
the
fever.
I thought it was incredible.
Can you imagine just having that much money, though, and the things that you would do to entertain yourself? Like,
and I think that was probably a nightly type of thing. I don't know if it always included nudity or who knows what. And the fact that he still pocketed $10,000.
Right.
That he didn't even need.
He
just wanted the hat.
And he got a hat.
Did he wear the hat?
I think he threw it off the pier into the damn ocean.
That's amazing.
But he got entertainment for an hour, and that's like all that it's about.
More importantly, he livened up the bar, which was the idea when they all walked in and said, we got to have a little fun in here.
Man.
That's team having fun. In the 80s, of course, inappropriate these days.
Yeah.
Even suggest
Boom.
That's Blank Everybody.
Is that the name of the segment? Blank
this
Everybody?
This segment has been entitled Blank Everybody.
The Blank Everybody hypothetical.
Yep.
All right, we have a killer update because on Twitter...
Is he on the move?
He is, I got the video of him coming down the elevator with a tilted head looking
He posted it?
Yeah, I just retweeted it. He tweeted all of us as well.
Okay.
And he's got his hands crossed, head slightly cocked to the right.
I just want to...
He's wearing his Rain Man suit with sneakers, which makes it even more funny.
And she didn't stop the video, so he gets off the escalator. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
So. He is on the move. And is about to cross over the Red River at 68 miles an hour.
Buddy, buddy, buddy.
Dude, he is right.
An hour and a half.
That doesn't say how long traffic will take right now. We'll get an update on that. It seems, the $1 million question or $200 question is if he won the damn hand of blackjack, which means we all make a little bit of a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Killer is on the move, crossing the Red River in his Killer's Cannonball Run, third annual.
What if he gets a flat tire?
Oh, my God.
He's changing his tire in a suit.
Should we call him or no? Later.
Later.
Yeah, maybe later.
Later.
All right. So you're listening to us because the Musers are on vacation. They always take a couple weeks in the summer before they head out to training camp, which is later this month in Oxnard. Camp is back for the Cowboys in California. We hear from a very special Cowboys operative coming up next.